Just go home and I'll call you with anything.
Wait.
What?
This city owes me.
Well, what's that?
Justice.
Welcome to Second Class Cinema, the show where we watch a B-movie and immediately discuss. I'm Tom. I'm here with Brittany.
Hello.
Eric.
Hey.
And Greg.
Hello.
How is everyone doing tonight?
Pretty
phenomenal.
Good.
Doing pretty good.
Doing pretty good?
Yeah.
That's good because we watched New York Ninja.
Yeah.
Both from 1984 and 2021.
Crazy.
And it was Eric's pick. Eric, why don't you explain what this movie is?
All right. This movie... trying to think the best way to put it. It is a 1980s period accurate movie made in the 2020s.
Okay.
There's a little bit of a short story behind this one. So the original production of this movie done in 1984 was directed, produced, and choreographed by John Liu. He was a kung fu actor and martial artist who had done a couple of movies in Hong Kong and in Europe. And this is all part of the documentary on the DVD that comes with this. It's produced by Vinegar Syndrome, and I highly recommend watching it. It's fascinating. He had sort of seen the success of lesser talented martial artists in the United States. The documentary specifically mentions your favorite, Leo Fong.
Dude, I was going to say, who's the fake jacked guy on that movie we watched? That's him.
Terrible.
So he decides, hell, why don't I do a big American movie and maybe I'll find my own success? So in 1984, he goes on to produce, direct, and choreograph New York Ninja, shot completely guerrilla style, no permits whatsoever. For whatever reason, the movie never gets finished. And it just lies dormant for decades. Cut to probably like 2019, I want to say. Vinegar Syndrome is in the process of acquiring just a bulk warehouse of films. And they discover in the lot is the it's just this collection of unedited reels labeled New York Ninja. And there's, you know, no script to go along with it. It's completely unedited, no sound, no credits, nothing, just the unedited footage. And they just decide, why don't we try to make this work? And to their credit, I think they did a pretty damn good job of putting together what they could with what they had. Specifically, that what they say in the documentary is their goal was to play it straight, be respectful of the source material. Let's make this movie like it's 1984. Mm. So they cast period actors of the time for doing the ADR over the original actor's dialogue. They got Don the Dragon Wilson, Cynthia Rothrock, Linnea Quigley, Leanna Isaac Kennedy, and a couple other voice actors that would be accurate for the period. And they got a synthwave band, Voyager 3, who went out, watched a couple of other John Liu movies, and sort of tried to recreate the sound that his movies had for their soundtracks. So the entire thing comes together as just this, like I said, like it's a 1984 movie made in 2021.
Yeah, in the most honest way that they can.
Absolutely. And we've come across, I think, more than a couple of times, especially during like the early 2010s when sort of 80s retroism was really at its peak, of people trying to do it and it being very inauthentic and sort of wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
This feels absolutely authentic and there's just no irony whatsoever in what they produced.
Yeah, I think it's interesting the story about, you know, how they acquired these unedited reels, because it's like when a lot of the problems we have are when movies are self-aware and it was like there's no opportunity for them to be self-aware because they were just aware of somebody else.
Yep.
And then they use that to make the movie. So like it felt authentic and it did feel genuine. Did.
It's like they had a blueprint and then they like built it as well as they could based on what they had.
Yeah. For sure.
And they nailed it, honestly.
Definitely.
Yeah. And their knowledge, I'm sure, you know, they do all these types of movies. This is like their wheelhouse. So like they know
for
how,
sure.
Yeah,
what feels right.
Ooh, how absolutely. It should look, sound. Yeah.
Yeah. They're uniquely qualified to make these decisions on every single front.
Yeah. And I think it worked out. All right. So that being said, very interesting story behind this movie. So what is it about?
All right. So this movie is simultaneously not that complicated and incomprehensible, which is, frankly, another way in which this is very period accurate.
Yeah.
So I'll try to summarize as best I can. The main character, I believe, is just named John Liu. They didn't even change his name.
Yeah. Sure.
His girlfriend is pregnant and it is his birthday, which every single one of us keyed up that she was going to die immediately.
Yeah. Right?
Happy birthday.
So he tells her he loves her and I'm like, oh, she's going to die, right?
She's toast.
So she witnesses a attempted kidnapping and the people that are doing the kidnapping murder her. So she's not a witness. John Liu, you know, laments this for a little while. And then he apparently used to be a ninja. He is a reporter now, or he works with like a camera crew.
They really don't provide much background on like what his ninja past experience was.
Not especially. Yeah.
But I got the impression that he was like a ninja trying to be like on the up and up.
Almost like the John Wick thing where he got out of that life, dude.
Yeah, and then her death makes him like backslide into this ninja lifestyle.
Definitely. Yeah, it's copying a little bit. And I think they were doing this intentionally. A little bit from the Canon Films ninja movies, which we even saw an advertisement for Ninja 3 in the background of one of the shots.
Oh, yeah.
That's almost exactly the plot of Revenge of the Ninja.
Yes.
So he, you know, returns to his ninja ways. He's trying to find out, you know, who killed his wife. There's not really any evidence of it other than a cufflink that was left behind. And most of the movie is just him chasing down goons who are doing kidnappings. Apparently, this is super endemic to New York City. The cops and the mayor are useless against the scourge.
Yeah, the cops in this movie are so fucking incompetent. It just like real life.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
And while this is all going on, and we are all baffled by this plot point. We still don't understand it. There's this guy who is ex-CIA who was affected by radioactivity exposure, and now light is his only weakness, and he's running a prostitution ring that the sentence keeps going. That's the problem.
Yeah. He's called the plutonium killer. And he was like, something happened to him in a government experiment involving radiation.
Something like that.
And now, like, he can be around radiation. So he carries around a suitcase full of plutonium. But it gives him some weird effect.
He orgasms when he opens the box.
He's just humming plutonium, all the time. Yeah.
Before this was explained to us when we first see him, I was like, okay, so this guy with burned hands just opens a glowing green briefcase and then turns into Arnold Schwarzenegger having an orgasm?
Yes.
I don't understand this.
Very bizarre.
Hard to understand.
Yeah, they don't really explain him at all until like the last 20 minutes of the movie, but the entire movie is intercut with them doing weird shit in the back of a limo.
So weird. He's always just like
making weird noises and
like melting.
Kind of melting. And like,
so fucking weird. Yeah, I feel like I say this every episode, but what is happening?
Yeah. No.
That was
very reasonable to say about this one.
Like one scene, like the left side of his face would be like all melty and drippy, but then the next scene he'd be like back to normal. Like, what is happening?
Yeah, is the radiation healing him? I get it.
Is that why he's orgasming when he opens the box of plutonium?
That was deeply uncomfortable.
I was struggling to find out. And this was like towards the end of the movie. I was like, wait, okay, so what's the connection between like John's wife dying and this guy running amok? And one of his goons was there,
Yeah, she tried to intervene in the abduction and they killed her.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's it.
So then he was going on a quest for revenge.
Yeah, that part is the only thing I grabbed.
By just smacking down goons left and right.
Yeah, I get
smacking them down.
Yeah, I just didn't see how that guy was. So that guy, the plutonium guy, he employed hundreds of goons?
I guess so. Seems like a lot of goons.
He was the guy who, that's what I'm thinking. I was just like, wait, is this like New York and everyone's kind of fending for themselves, or are all these goons unified?
They seemed unified, right?
I don't know, because at one point Frankie Cufflinks or whatever his name was, who killed John's wife, was like with two other guys outside of Plutonium Guy's car, and they were like yelling at each other in an argument. So I feel like if they worked for him, maybe they wouldn't be having an argument.
Yeah.
Because he seems like a really fucking dangerous, scary guy. Yeah. I don't know why they would be like, I was like, hey, I'm walking here. But basically,
instead of that, it's just, hey, give me your money.
Yeah,
that's pretty much
the only driving force.
Hey, that's what everyone on this movie sounded like.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, actually, so I did want to say that I did think of an alternate title for the movie.
Let's hear it.
I did. Instead of New York Ninja, I'm gonna go with Curse of the Cufflinks.
Okay.
Okay.
That's like if it was a Goosebumps episode. Yeah.
I was gonna say that's the Are You Afraid of the Dark episode.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Curse Superior.
Like that.
Okay, you clowns, cut the crap.
Okay, so standing, you know, on its own merits as a, how do we want to approach this? Like, you know, how what like what we found appealing, like successfully done to be an entertaining movie, or successfully done to kind of be part of what would be the 1984 version of this movie?
I don't know. Honestly, I didn't write a whole lot. Most of my notes were plot points. I feel like I just watched the movie,
I did that as
honestly
well.
Good
sign, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I did want to mention too that we had watched this movie once before, mm-hmm. but it was New Year's Eve, and as you know, while we watch it, you know, but basically,
I definitely fell asleep.
This is me saying that I don't remember anything anymore.
Yeah.
So right, I didn't really remember any of the details.
I remembered one weird scene where he's fishing with like spears.
Yeah. <right. laughs>
In like the Hudson River.
Yeah. That was
not worried about radiation, apparently.
And rat tail, because who could forget rat tail?
Yeah. Oh my god.
When he popped up, I felt something. I was like, oh god, I remember this now.
I definitely remembered rat tail.
I'm awoken.
But the only thing I wrote down is a strength. Even though I don't think it's lacking other strengths, was just that the music was incredible.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
I had that too, and hearing you say that it was Voyager actually makes sense, because I actually own like Voyager vinyl. Like I'm a Voyager guy. So like the whole time I was like, it sounded like familiar, but I couldn't like pinpoint it. Mm. But then when you said it was Voyager, I was like, oh my god, dude, it's definitely Voyager. Because they have they add like the awesome soaring guitars. We got some guitar riffs and some cool leads and stuff, and that's what Voyager do, the synth with like the cool real instruments like drums and guitars and stuff. So that made a lot of sense, because the music fucking ruled.
Yes,
unbelievably good.
No,
really good.
It really was. I mean I guess just the overall big success is that it just felt right. It just felt really good.
Yeah,
for sure.
And you know beyond that, you know, kind of what else would we have to say?
Yeah,
I guess the villains are suitably creepy and fairly memorable.
Yeah.
Because I definitely remembered Rat Tail. I won't forget him.
Yeah. Even though they're a little bit confusing.
It's very confusing.
Rat Tail is Plutonium Killer's chauffeur.
Yes. Yeah.
Seems I feel like they only had that guy, like back in 84, they had him for a day. Because he was only in a
call
handful
up Rat
of
Tail.
Shots and like
We need a creep, dude.
Yeah. He was only in a handful of shots, and he was like mostly in the car, and it was mostly in that one area.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I bet you they're like, oh, we got this cool guy who can do this weird stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah.
For a day. So let's just really capitalize on it. And they did. They got the footage for him.
Adding to Eric, as far as like the creepy bad guys, for a success, I had very good job of like depicting how gross like the underworld of New York can be. And it was like,
it was
really savage, dude, like really savage and like cold hearted. And there were like dungeons of lady prisoners, and all the gangs felt very dangerous. And they were like, you could tell they were filming in very dangerous areas. And it was just filth. Like they showed you how like filthy.
There's just stuff a reporter and a cameraman at one point just casually watching two rapes take place.
Yeah.
And the reporter's like, oh no, someone help.
Yeah.
And no one
just
does.
Just a gang of people like raping this woman on like the hood of a car. And it's just this
broad
really
daylight.
Savage shit. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just running amok.
Yeah.
In
truly.
These streets.
Like zero rules. So I had that as a success. It was really, really intense as far as the violence went.
Mm.
It kind of reminded me, and not quite to the same extent, but it reminded me of your response to Hollywood Cop
in
contrast to Samurai Cop. It just feels greasy and disgusting.
It does.
Yeah.
It really
gross.
Does.
Really does feel gross.
And the fact that the Vinegar Syndrome guys were able to make something out of that and not have it feel really unsettling as opposed to just uncomfortable, like I think it kind of came across, I think, again, that is another checkbox in their credit.
For sure. And, you know, I was, you know, wondering the whole time. I'm just like, you know, how much of this movie initially got finished? Like, how much were they working with? Were they working with like a 30% of the movie, 80% of the movie? Like, you know, either way, like, it's really interesting to even see what they ended up cutting. Like, this just doesn't make sense. Like, this is unfinished. Doesn't make sense.
Right.
It'd almost be kind of a fun exercise to, like, release the raw footage.
I think it'd be interesting to see.
And then just be like, to see a bunch of people's New York ninjas
put together.
Just, oh, that's a great idea.
Like, let a bunch of people edit that raw footage.
I would
like,
watch you've already all done of them.
Yeah. For like, real. You can make it a short film. You can just pick one part of it to do. Like,
you know, do like one of those things like when they did like the RoboCop reshoots where everyone got a little piece of RoboCop and they shot their own version of it and then they just strung it together.
Yeah.
You could do a whole thing with New York Ninja on that.
Yes. Like, that would be a ton of fun. And this is like the perfect type of movie to do that with, because it's just going to be entertaining.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah. Anything else?
I don't think I have anything else. Like you said, I think the biggest strength of this is the authenticity. It's not that necessarily there's a lot of bad about it, but this movie wouldn't have been great if it came out originally either, I don't think.
No.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I was also... It's really hard to, like, imagine what could have been. Mm-hmm. When something that was given to us all these years later was, you know, probably more satisfying, like more what we would hoped it would have been if it had been made initially.
Definitely. For sure.
Definitely. And,
if we're ready to transition to failures, I think I do have one major one. And seriously lets it down as a martial arts film is that the choreography is not very good.
Honestly, when you were saying that he saw all these people making money in like the American market and then he decided to make this, I was a little taken aback because I was like, there's nothing like remarkable about
right
what he's doing in this movie. Not that I could do any of it remotely, yeah. But like, yeah, I wasn't like blown away by any of the fight scenes or anything like that.
And I think part of it is so many of the, in fact, most of the fights in this movie are structured of basically a bunch of goons surround New York Ninja. And then they stand in their I'm a ready to fight pose.
Yes.
And then he individually kicks their asses. And don't get me wrong. Like, I hate the criticism. I heard a criticism of John Wick 4 of all movies. Someone said, why don't just all 20 of those guys come after John Wick and like kill him at the same time? I'm like, yeah, that'd be a great movie.
Right.
That'd be wicked fun, dude.
Yeah.
People used to say that about Game of Thrones too.
Oh, right.
And it's like, for this movie, I think I can justify that complaint.
Everyone was in like the pick your character screen.
Yes.
Like bobbing back and forth, waiting,
just waiting slowly. Waiting their turn.
Yeah, I don't know if the intent was to maybe pan and scan it so you wouldn't see all eight guys surrounding them doing nothing. But the way it was edited here, it just does not work. And I think John Liu by far is the most talented martial artist in this movie, so he doesn't have a lot to work with.
True.
On top of that.
Yeah, they give him kind of like a bunch of bums.
I feel like they could have like, they could have gave it a zhuzh by like having him like throw people through windows or like something like that, but they didn't really go for any of that. It was just kind of like rough and tumble in the streets.
Yeah.
Then it's over and you just move on to the next like five guys, much like The Hard Way.
The Hard Way.
It's definitely something that I think also lack of shooting permits held them back on.
That's what I was thinking.
Super savage, you know.
True.
Yeah, at least in public, you know, they could have done some
indoor,
some restaurant, you know, scene or whatever, go to their buddy's restaurant and just kick some ass. But like, you know, hey, maybe they didn't shoot all that stuff.
Right? Yeah.
Maybe that was the stuff that they were like, oh, like, and also it's like everything was in a wide shot. All the fights were just wide shots. There was no close. It was like maybe one or two kind of peppered in there. Sure.
Yeah, you really can't, like, knowing where this footage ended up, you really can't say, like, what they might or might not have done with it.
And maybe
given, like, more time, more money, more whatever they needed.
Maybe they did shoot it. Maybe they lost the reels. Who knows?
True.
That's what's fascinating.
It's too bad with such a quantity of wide shots in this movie that they didn't have more talented martial artists, because just being able to do these long extended shots of good kung fu choreography would have been fucking amazing.
Yeah, that really would have put it over the top. It made it something, like, really special. But, like, I was thinking too, I'm like, you know, there was enough going on with the footage they had to where it definitely felt worthwhile to make the movie.
Definitely.
Sure. Yes. Like watching some of the scenes and just the set pieces and the choreography and the acting, like watch it, you're like, this has to be seen. This needs to be distributed.
For sure.
So super glad that they found it and then they did this. That was awesome.
I did feel it could have been a little shorter.
Yeah, it could have been more efficient. For sure, obviously, you know, they're only working with what they have, but like, yeah. You know, if you're controlling it to that point too, just snap it up.
Tighten it up.
Snap up some of those parts just a little bit. You know?
Even 5 minutes chopped off, I think would have done a lot of favors for this.
Definitely.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had I don't know if it's a failure or just something I didn't like, but our hero John being called a vigilante by like the police.
Yeah.
And they like hated him.
Well, they
like,
were terrible at their job.
Yeah. So. I was like, dude, this guy is literally like stopping women from being raped mid rape. And the police are like, what the hell you think you're doing? Like pull their guns on him. Like you can't do this. You can't take the law into your old hands.
Cuff your own hands.
It's like, yeah. Then they like literally arrest him. And he's like, he stopped like a rape mid rape. And they're like, this guy's bad news. So that like aggravated me. I was like, what the fuck is happening, dude? Cause like you could see like vigilante is like the famous vigilante Batman. It's like, okay, he gets involved in like, you know, big crime bosses and like, you know, he steps on the police's feet and all that kind of stuff. It's you know what I mean? Like yeah. That's what, or like when the guy in Spider-Man's like, we gotta stop this guy, you know, it's like you can see, but like, no, this guy is literally like saving this woman from having her clothes ripped off, being raped on the hood of a car, and they're like, you're under arrest, dude.
Yeah, then he like goes to the police about his dead wife, and they're just like, it's just gonna take us some time.
They just blow him off, and I was like, dude, this is crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty much ripped wholesale from the original Death Wish. Like those are all the same plot points, In that movie, he was kind of just killing random dudes.
Yeah.
That weren't necessarily doing all that much. Like right. they were just random muggers.
Right. Right.
And at the time, the movie was controversial for all those reasons. Whatever. I'm not going to get into the politics of it, but. Yeah, New York Ninja is basically just cribbing all those plot points, but like you said, he's saving people in the middle of
horrible things.
Yeah, it's not a plot point that necessarily makes sense, but I understand with the footage they had to work with, it's not like they could write the police pointing guns at him
right.
out of it.
Exactly. So yeah,
it's hard to.
So that's why I was like, I don't know if it counts as a failure or just a nitpick I had, because I was like, dude. This is nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
These police don't do shit. They're giving this guy trouble.
And every headline on the newspaper every single day is like, plutonium killer strikes again.
Yeah.
Another lady is taken and raped.
Yeah. Literally, though.
Ninja stops all crime.
Yeah, yeah, really.
And they're like, what
lock
the fuck?
Yeah, lock them up, dude.
Yeah.
And if anybody else didn't have failures, I did have another failure.
You could just say it.
Hold off, dude.
John... dabbing a shirtless child's face while he was sweaty and shirtless.
I definitely wrote uncomfortable naked sweat dabbing.
I was like, yikes. And he was like dabbing his lip with something. I was like, okay, this is a little weird.
Yeah, that was definitely.
Put your shirt on, dude. Quit sweating at least.
A kid gets.
I don't know if he was sweating or if he was oil.
It was shot?
Yeah, he was like shot in the back.
The kid?
Yeah, they did shoot him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so the kid gets shot by some goons, and then John takes him like back to his house, presumably.
It's like an attic,
and then it just cuts to them like both shirtless, like lying on this thing, and he has like the boy's head in his lap, and he's like, I don't even.
He's oiled up.
I honestly don't even remember what the conversation was like, because I was just like, this is weird.
This is bizarre.
It was very awkward, and
he was like rubbing like his hair and stuff too.
Yeah,
all oiled up,
and then like, well, they spend a lot of time together, because then they ended up what? Pulling fish out of the Hudson River together.
Yes.
While his red underwear was just hanging on
by a thread.
Yeah. Like
his just Speedo.
Very
awkward situations.
His fishing Speedo.
That, you know, were probably well intended.
Right. Probably.
Just really came across as something that I don't want to watch.
Right, right.
He's going to be a father to this child because his unborn child
was murdered.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
But then it's like, there's that other scene where like
taste it up a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah, everybody comes to celebrate New York Ninja, but it's like 30 little kids.
It's just like 11-year-olds.
Yeah, it's like, why is it only children, dude? This is just bizarre. It's really weird.
They did rally for him.
Yeah,
they
we were
did.
Like, why aren't the people of the city coming out and being like, "Fuck yeah, New York Ninja"?
No, it's like 11-year-olds.
Well, he did have the news anchor lady on his side.
That's true. And that the cop lady was wearing a I Love New York Ninja shirt.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah. I liked the cop lady.
And he saved both of their lives, like probably multiple times.
Yeah.
Very true.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
The big fans.
Big fans of it.
But yeah, I mean, I guess, I mean, we definitely covered the things that I felt that the movie was definitely weird about, you know?
Yeah.
You know, those types of things, but
for sure.
Anything else before, you know, maybe some favorite parts, or Eric, do you have anything else?
I do have one more failure that's written down, and this is kind of a subset of the choreography, and I just wanted to call it out.
Okay.
Rat Tail's drunken sword style.
Oh my God, it was so weird. I was like, so I hate this guy. Like you said, he's like an amalgamation of Elijah Wood and Daniel Radcliffe, which is weird because they already look like each other.
Right.
Yeah. Everything about that guy, it seems like he saw one Jackie Chan movie once and thought, I can do that.
I can be Drunken Tiger.
Yeah. Not a single thing he did was cool.
No, it was terrible.
No.
Awful.
No. And like he like there was even one moment during that like fight scene with him where he like did like a dive and was like in the dirt and he tried to do one of those like kip ups. And then he just completely flattened on his back and then just rolled over and got up anyway.
He kept putting a skinny little rat tail in his mouth. It was so
gross. That was weird.
That I liked. I thought that I was like, you know, good touch. You know, this guy likes stuff in his mouth. And he put his like sword in his mouth.
Yeah, he did. He did.
So I was like, all right, I get it. He likes that.
He did.
Probably feels cool.
Some of the ADR was a little goofy, but given the circumstances, I can't like really hold that against it. It was just like points where you're like, that's definitely not what they're saying.
Yeah.
But it just more so just made me wonder what they really were saying.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, they just arm wrestled their story in which. Yes, please do that. I'd much rather have that happen than you try and like lip read these people.
I think they actually brought in professional lip readers to try to figure it out. And I'm not even sure if they could get everything out of it.
I'm sure there are parts where it was just like, I have no idea.
Yeah, they definitely ran with like what they saw at times and then they worked with what they had. And were. I mean, I thought it was pretty masterfully done, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, overall. But no, I definitely agree with that. But yeah, ultimately, this movie does have some favorite parts, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I've got some favorite parts.
What do you got?
One I had, I don't know why I found this so funny, but there's a scene where John is talking to the police chief and it's like this really in-depth conversation. And they're like walking. And I think I finally asked all you guys, I was like, are they in the street?
It's walking in the middle of the street. The two you of see them, a car like swerve around them.
Yeah, the two of them are just walking in the middle of the street, casually having this conversation. And there's like cars going around them and stuff. And I was like, I had to ask because it was so bizarre. I was like, am I seeing this? Am I like I smoked a little bit, but like it looks like they're walking in the middle of the road.
I think that's when Eric mentioned that they filmed it like without permits.
Yes, and then I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
It was like camera op like was dodging cars as they were doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know, if you don't have permits, just do it extra illegally.
Yeah,
in the middle of the road.
Right. Be as much of a hazard to those around you as you possibly can be.
Just hiding in plain sight, dude. Isn't that the ninja way?
I had one favorite part. And it was at one point he's like fighting a henchman, a little like goon guy, and the guy basically is armed with like a wooden stake and he tries to like flip it in the air and then catch it again, but he just drops it. And then he just looks like so pathetically defenseless.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that was smooth.
One of my favorite parts comes early on in the movie. This is after you know, his wife, you know, gets murdered and, you know, he's supposed to be having some sort of birthday party on the roof something like that.
Yep.
And so he's celebrating his birthday alone on the roof because, you know, his wife's dead. And, you know, he starts to lose it. You know, he can't handle it anymore. He kicks the table in half.
Yeah, that was actually cool.
And he's got the quintessential slow motion anguish of a lost loved one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So good.
Perfect. You need it.
Especially when paired with like the thin, like rubbery birthday party tablecloth.
Oh, and
all the accoutrements, balloons.
Yeah. And, you know, her picture, like he like shattered it.
Oh, yeah.
He's like squeezing all the glass.
That's right.
He's just really torturing himself over the whole thing. It's, I'm glad that of all the things that they shot in 1984, that they shot that.
They shot that. That was a good one to have.
I'm glad that they did that.
There's a scene where there's a rape in an alley about to happen.
I can see how that'd be your favorite part.
There's a rape happening in the alleyway, and the rapist gets hit in the back with a Chinese star. And the lady pulls the star out of the guy's back, and she goes, "New York Ninja." And then immediately after that, the crony goes, "Who threw that?" And I was like, dude, she like just read it to you. And so yeah, she gets away. And I had Elijah Radcliffe as one of my favorite parts too, who's
yeah,
ponytails. Not ponytail, rat that tail. Was yeah, rat tail.
Yeah, ponytail is Armstrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he rat looked tail like, is New York Ninja.
Yeah.
He terrible.
Looked like, yeah, he looked like Elijah Wood and Daniel Radcliffe, like Brittany mentioned.
Yeah.
And
he was certainly
just so silly, and it was fun watching him because he really looked like both those people. And every time he was on screen, I was like, dude, that's so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he was definitely entertaining to watch. Eric, what do you got?
Some of the stunts in this movie, the few that we actually had, were pretty awesome. The one in particular I'm thinking of is the car drag stunt, where John
Woo
takes like a grappling hook and grapples the back of the bumper of a car. And I saw in some of the documentary footage, he was just getting dragged along on a piece of cardboard.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Jesus.
And like you just get like a full wide shot of him getting dragged by this car. And then of him, like they did like a reverse shot of him, like jumping into the trunk. I just thought that was great. The fact that John Liu was willing to do something so ridiculously dangerous.
Yeah, that's
tells
cool.
me that if he were in a proper movie with permits and stuff, he could have been truly awesome. Like,
yeah,
he would have been like Jackie Chan levels of like, definitely. Why don't I just like attempt to kill myself for your entertainment?
Definitely.
I did enjoy him.
He was good.
Yeah, he was good.
I did like him. He had a certain charisma to him.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He was tight.
And I don't really know. So he has been in other movies that he's produced and directed, or
I don't know if he produced and directed or any other movies. I'm not 100% sure about that, so don't quote me. But he was in a bunch of Hong Kong action kung fu movies, and I think he might have done some stuff in Europe.
Okay.
And he was, I think he was a successful like karate championship guy. He had like a background in taekwondo, super flexible dude. So he could have absolutely, I think, succeeded in the American market if he maybe honed his talents towards just being the talent as opposed to trying to wear so many different hats at the same time.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And they tried to reach out to this guy, right?
Yeah. Apparently he lives in just like some hut in Vietnam. Wow. Completely off the grid, no electricity, no phone line, nothing. And there's just this one guy that visits him like every couple of months. And the producers of Vinegar Syndrome managed to get in contact with that guy.
That's
and said,
crazy,
"Hey,
dude,
can you reach out to John Liu and see if he'd be interested in contributing to the project?" And they hear back from him after a month, and basically the response is like, "No, but good luck."
Yeah.
He kind of just wanted to wash his hands of the whole thing.
Wild.
You know, I guess maybe he was just completely burned by the whole process and the fact that the movie didn't come out, you know.
That's a bummer.
Because I don't know if he did anything after this. I'd have to look at his IMDb. I forgot to check, but yeah.
It's still very interesting.
Like, yeah,
super interesting story.
Like, wild, dude.
Because like this almost feels, and the thing that really excited me about this movie when it was originally released, this is maybe the only movie I've ever pre-ordered. You know, when I heard the story of how it was produced, I was like, my immediate thought was, I wish we were doing Second Class Cinema right now.
Yeah,
I would bring this immediately. And it almost felt like the same sense of joy when we came across like Samurai Cop or Miami Connection, of these sort of lost, old, stupid films, and just sort of speculating like, how did this get made? How did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
And then getting the answer to that afterwards is always so satisfying to understand, like,
really
these
cool.
were the circumstances under which this was made. And, you know, I kind of wish John Liu, and I hope he did get some satisfaction out of this. There's even a bit after the credits saying, like, we hope that this makes everyone that was involved in the production proud. Much like Matthew Kuretis for Samurai Cop and YK Kim for Miami Connection, they sort of got like their vindication years later.
Yeah.
Where they found out how many people loved these movies. Definitely. That they were kind of low key embarrassed about.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say earlier, Miami Connection for sure, with like the whole backstory. And it's really sad that John Liu was just like you said,
complete hands off.
Yeah. I just like went into hiding almost. And I hope that's. Hope that's not why, because he did
know,
a dope
that would
job.
Suck if and it
I
just
hope,
like ended his
yeah,
time
seriously.
In America.
I hope he's like
back.
Seen this, and if he hasn't, somebody's got to show him
yeah.
how cool he looks, dude.
Yeah, and I didn't want to throw in one more favorite part on the kind of the choreography element of this. is, or at least the live stunt part, is that that final scene in with the helicopters.
Yeah.
The helicopter getaway. Legit. Like that, like my stomach dropped watching what looked like, you know, I don't know. They could have pulled a little trickery. I'm assuming they did. But to see our ninja hang from a grappling rope from a helicopter that was just kind of hovering for a while. And I was like, okay, they're not going to really take off.
Right.
They like took off.
They took off out into like the bay.
They took off.
Yeah.
They were like, there was some really dangerous and for
definitely
for permitless shooting.
Yeah.
To be imagine, hanging from a helicopter.
If that went wrong, dude.
Over New York.
Yeah.
It makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Wild.
Watching that.
There was I got excited because Jackie Chan does that. One of his movies. He hangs on to the little, I don't know what you call it, the landing gear, the foot, whatever.
Yeah.
He's he's wrapped around there and they like fly him over the city and he just like hangs on for dear life. And I was like, man, John Liu right up there with the Chan, dude.
There's even like some close up shots while the helicopter is running.
Mm.
Like the propellers are going and they're having just a straight up fist fight
on
the side of the helicopter.
Yeah.
It is so ridiculously dangerous looking.
Yeah.
And again, it's one of the things that tells me like John Liu could have been incredibly successful as an American action director and choreographer.
Yeah. The danger felt very real.
Very real.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Brett, what do you got? Anything for favorite parts? Anything else?
All my favorite parts are very stupid. when one of the head the police department is making like a statement to the news about all the like kidnapped women and the New York ninja and the murders and stuff. And then at like a press conference, and then all of a sudden, like the goon squad rolls through and starts like antagonizing and chasing people down. And like the head goon basically like pushes the guy from the police department who was talking down, who's like a chubby like guy with glasses. He pushes him down and calls him a fat bitch.
That's right.
Oh my God. It was so funny. But I was like, this guy has been raping and murdering people all film, but this feels like the most egregious act he's committed.
Throws the poor guy down.
So cruel. I was like, did you just call him a fat bitch?
Fat bitch, dude.
Fuck,
was
wow.
That was intense.
It was like out of nowhere.
So sad, poor guy.
And then he like sees them getting beat down later and he stands up and he's like all smiley. I was like, wow, poor dude.
Yeah, it was there were felt like so many different lead goons at times. Like there was like I felt like there were five guys who like led their own subsect of goons.
There's a lot of goons in this movie.
Lots of goons wearing lots of different things. Yeah.
Well, for like an hour, we were like, is the guy in the back seat with the goggles the same guy as like Plutonium the Orgasm multi-man guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was.
It was.
The goggle guy's the same. And then it took me a little while to understand that the pale guy, what is it, the pale man, was, you know, not actually getting people.
Oh, the Interpol guy?
Yeah, the Interpol. Yeah. I was like,
the Grey Poupon guy.
Yeah.
Nah, dude, I don't have any Grey Poupon. Get out of here. No, it's it took me a little while to figure out what his story was too, after he had like said it too, and I was like, wait, what?
You're like, so who are his customers? We're like, no, that's fake.
Okay. I get it now.
At one point somebody goes, where did you come from? And the other guy goes, where did you go?
Yeah.
That's right. I was like, where did you come from?
Yeah.
Do.
The last one is the cufflink guy towards the end of the movie. Or not the end of the movie, when John figures out that cufflink guy is the guy who killed his wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He sees him sitting in his car with the cufflink, and Eric was like, what, just wearing one cufflink? Because John found the other cufflink at the crime scene.
Yeah, yeah,
so now we started laughing. I think this guy's got one really fancy cufflink and then a super loose flappy sleeve. I thought that was pretty funny.
That's a funny visual, yeah. All right.
I have a couple more, yeah.
All right, what do we got?
So this is just a very brief one. Fake goon mustache.
Oh my God. How did I forget about this guy?
There's a very prominently featured goon who has a mustache that is made of yarn.
Dude, it looks like so bizarre.
And it's barely attached to his face.
Yeah, it's so bad. It's like the Hanks of like fake hair you would buy if you were going to like glue it onto someone's yes. face in like a makeup job.
Yes.
But they like didn't separate it out or trim it down. It's just like yeah. a kinked bundle of hair yeah. that's like 3 inches long glued to his yeah. lip.
And the face he was making too at the
so
time.
Funny,
like
dude.
It was just like, this is how the mustache lays. So yeah. if I move my face at all, yeah. it's going to mess up my mustache.
It reminded me of the mustache when they go undercover in Team America World Police. It was like yeah. the same kind of like put together clumps.
Yeah, it's yeah, clumps.
A clump stash, dude.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And the only other thing I have is just getting to see high quality period footage of New York City in general.
That was cool.
Just completely candid footage because, again, they were shooting without permits.
Yeah.
You just see people walking down the street like
the McDonald's in Times Square.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Like you see the entire city lit up. People walking past like the movie theater where like Ninja 3 Domination is playing, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
Just getting to see just this little slice of life from 1984 in such high quality. Like usually when you see that sort of stuff, it's just like, oh, here's an old news broadcast from 1984 and it looks, you know, as well as a news broadcast recorded off the television is going to look.
Mm-hmm.
And we just see very sharp, very well, very well, like it's very cleaned up footage
yeah, yeah,
of
yeah.
that film, and it just looks so good.
Yeah, yeah, good, great, restored, candid style
yeah,
footage.
Definitely
made you feel like you were there, which kind of added to what maybe made the danger feel real and made the goons feel the way they do. It just, it really added that realism
definitely
to the movie. Yeah, no, totally agree.
There was one more thing we all talked about too. I think it was when a bunch of goons were smashing up a car. and so our two reporter people came with their camera and we realized, wait a second, like, every single time something violent breaks out, these people are just there and they're, oh my God, and they take out the camera and they start filming. So they're like, they roll up and these people are just destroying this car and he starts filming it. He's like, oh my God, they're wrecking that car. And then they're like, it's your car. And then he realizes when they're like flipping it over after they bashed all the windows out that it's his car that he's been filming them smash for the past like 5 minutes. I was like, dude, how do you just realize after it's demolished that it was your car
and then
they were ruining?
And then the guy had the balls to go down to them, ask them, yeah. ask all eight of them who just flipped his
after
car.
The
what are you doing?
Yeah.
Dude.
Like, the nerve,
dude. The ball
so
sack.
Weird.
Really, really weird.
Yeah, they have like video footage of these guys like menacing everybody, and the cops are like, "Ooh,
yeah,
insane."
Yeah,
just
actually,
nothing we can do.
Yeah,
but I have really a question though. Before we move on to ratings. Okay. I have a question about the cameraman, Jack.
Yes,
Jed,
whose car got smashed up.
Mm. Yeah.
At one point, Plutonium Killer is sitting with his like glowing plutonium, or like. No, he's sitting with like a lit candle.
That's right.
And
that's
he
right.
burns a picture of Jack the cameraman.
Yes.
And then at the end, he looks like Jack the cameraman. Like he turns into
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
And then he's pretending to like talk to the reporter to like lead her away from what's going on. And then I forget exactly what happens, but he gets like hit in the face.
Oh. Oh, you forget what exactly happens?
No, I remember.
Okay,
now.
That's what I would hope.
So New York Ninja, because his weakness is the sunlight, even though he's out in the fucking sunlight.
Constantly.
New York Ninja shines a mirror, like uses a mirror to shine a beam of light directly at his face, and then he starts like clawing his face, and then Jack the cameraman's face like slides off of his and he's still Plutonium Killer underneath.
Yeah.
That's my question.
Yes, Jack.
The answer is yes. It's as easy as that.
My question is, what the fuck?
Yeah. So is Jack not a guy?
What?
Is Jack not a guy? Did he turn into Jack?
No.
Is Jack dead?
Right.
I think Jack is dead because there was that scene where Jack and Randy were jogging with each other and Rat Tail was watching Jack leave. And I think they like chased after him and maybe kidnapped him. I know we kind of got distracted during that scene.
Oh, okay.
But I think they captured Jack. But I still can't answer the question of why Plutonium Man turns into
Jack. Was him, yeah.
Well, maybe that's the magic of radiation.
I would say, is that his thing? Is he just wears other
Yeah, like the radiation
skin?
Just gave you the magical ability to like morph into other people?
Yeah.
or wear their skin and look exactly like them.
I was going to say, to be Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible.
What the fuck?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely weird. And actually, now that you mentioned it, I do want to talk about the very end of the movie.
Yes.
And basically, you know, the whole situation resolves and the cops find our ninja hanging out. They've got him at gunpoint. And then they arrest him.
Yeah.
And so now that they're parading this fully dressed ninja around.
That's right. They don't take his mask off.
Through the streets of New York. And actually one cop was like, all right, let's find out who you really are.
Yeah. I was like, what's this? Like, Scooby.
He's like, no, we'll find out soon enough. Right. And then that's when all the kids come out with their New York. I love New York. 30 ninja
children
signs.
Come out.
They all start cheering New York Ninja.
And parading around the police.
Handing out shirts. And the police are all smiles like, ha-ha, look at these kids. New York Ninja just ducks in the crowd and disappears, and the cops are like, "Ah, well,
yes.
Well, I guess we lost him."
They literally say,
"See you tomorrow."
Literally say, "We'll try tomorrow."
Yeah, we'll try tomorrow.
All right, guys, we'll see you tomorrow. Wow. I love it. Yeah. That's
that was great.
It's because they're good at their jobs. All right, Tom.
That's exactly. Well, exactly. Exactly right. Honestly, that's what I would do. If I went to all that trouble,
let's
finally
wrap it up.
Arrested the guy, and then he disappears. I'm like,
he disappears for 27 seconds, and then you're like, "All right, we'll try it again tomorrow." Yeah,
you know what? I got to rest on this.
Yeah, I'm done.
I got to rest.
The chief time is it? Know about this?
Yeah, is it five? Yeah, I'm done. I'm out of here. All right, so we ready to rate?
So let's rate it then.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with.
Yeah,
fuck
I'm gonna
you.
Have to give it an unfortunate fuck off.
Oh my god, my fucking father.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck yeah!
All right, guys, let's rate New York Ninja from shot in 1984, edited in 2021, and let's rate that. What do we got?
I think I can go.
All right, Eric.
So I'm gonna give the movie itself, like the final product, give that like it's a fucking all right. The effort by Vinegar Syndrome to make this into a movie is an absolute fuck. Yeah?
Yeah.
I would say if you are a fan of Samurai Cop, if you're a fan of Miami Connection, that sort of bad movie, this is very much up your alley. It's not as good as those films.
Yes.
But it's very much in the same vein. It feels like those movies. It feels like it belongs. And if you're looking for another movie quite like that, absolutely recommend it. And I recommend getting the whole experience of seeing the documentary of how it was made and alongside of it.
Definitely have to watch that. I have to watch that.
The story of this movie is, I think, more fascinating than the final product is.
Mm-hmm.
But the effort that Vinegar Syndrome went through to make this into a movie that you can actually watch is phenomenal. And I can only recommend, I can't recommend it more.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. I agree with that. I agree with the assessment of the fuck yeah for the effort put into it. And I think that the final output, and I'm going to give it, including the story, is like a pretty fucking cool, like pretty cool what they were able to pull off. And I was entertained. That's what matters. And it felt sincere, but as much as it could, you know. And that's so hard. That's so hard to do, especially having seen so many movies that are sincere that suck, that are sincere that don't suck, that aren't sincere that suck. You know, like all these.
Covered a couple of those.
Yeah, like just off. Like this was excellent. So that's what I would say.
Agreed. I love how you can say in the same sentence, if you like bad movies like XYZ, this isn't quite as good as those. And like people will know what you mean.
Yeah,
definitely.
I really appreciate that. My rating is almost the same as yours, but I'm going to give it an all fucking right just on every front. Like, do you need to see this movie? Probably not. Are you going to have fun watching it? Probably. I feel like you said it's like it seems sincere. I feel like what they managed to cobble together with what they had feels like the closest form, like true to form of like, obviously we can't know for sure, like maybe what it intended to be. You know,
I don't know if it's what it intended, but what
they crafted, made for us is perfectly, more than acceptable.
Perfectly acceptable.
Yeah.
As far as Vinegar Syndrome turning this into something, dude, I'd almost give it a fucking fuck yeah. Because that is just like, the fact that it exists is wild. And it's fun. And as for like the movie itself, I think I'm going to go fucking interesting is what I'll say, dude.
Okay.
Because like I said, like watching the whole thing, like, you know, it's not as good as Samurai Cop. It's not as good as Miami Connection. But there's something there that's just like this movie didn't exist. Mm-hmm. Well, it existed for 30 years without existing.
Yeah, yeah.
And like now it's a new movie. And like just what went into it and the lore behind it and the story behind it makes the whole thing interesting and cool enough to like watch from start to finish and just be like, wow, this is weird. All the weird feelings you get about the stuff you don't know. And it's just like
plutonium.
Interesting. Yeah. From start to finish is interesting and it's entertaining.
I was just going to say, I think one of the biggest things I appreciate about this film is sort of how representative it is of the 2020s as opposed to the 2010s. Where I feel like the 2010s was very steeped in heavy irony and cynicism and this sort of low-key mockery of things that are less than.
Like cult cinema
punched
down. A joke in itself.
Right. Right.
And this just feels very sincere and authentic. It and it's just a celebration of these films. You know, if they good entertain you, then what's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not like something that was made in the vein of something else while they're like winking at you from the background.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's very, you know, inspirational, hopeful that this does exist right now.
Right.
Because it makes you imagine, you know, how many other reels are sitting around of gold? How many other
crap?
Like, and like finished movies.
Seriously, dude.
And, or unfinished. Like, how many still are out there? Because it's like, you know, when I collect Pokemon cards, when you go out into the wild, you're just like, there are no deals left in the world. You know, there's nothing out there.
Yeah.
And you go to you can go to flea markets and you can still find crazy deals.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what this feels like. It's just like, wow, it's still real. It's like Santa Claus. It's like, it's still real.
It's still there.
The magic is real still. We just got to believe in it.
Yeah.
And this movie makes you believe
it. Does.
If I had one hope for the future of cult cinema, it would be that more like passion projects like this pop up in our world, like more labors of love of somebody just finding this fucking orphan piece of art and just like, you know, nurturing it into something
seriously though,
really like more than the sum of its parts.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, overall great feelings walking away from this movie.
Definitely.
Just being able, like, it's a good timing for us, you know, as we start to do this again, to know that there are just those
still
gems
out there, dude. There's plenty out there.
There's gems out there, and it's endless, and that's why it's so great. It's a deep well, and we'll never get to the bottom of it.
Never, never.
But any final thoughts? Any final thoughts before we wrap out?
I don't know.
I got nothing since I already posed my question about fucking Jack the cameraman.
Yeah, no, and that's a fair question, and the answer is yes.
I'll never get the answer.
I thought it was yes.
I'll never get the answer.
Oh wait, we had that one cool shot of Melty guy running through the airport that we liked.
Oh yeah, that was a cool shot.
He was running real fast, and they had the camera was kind of like backing up, following him, and they were fucking booking to their getaway plane. That was kind of fun.
That was a good shot.
I was like, there was an airport in this movie.
Yeah, right.
Seriously. Yeah, they killed those poor airport guys.
Yeah, for no reason. Literally no reason, because they didn't even take the plane.
They were just like shining it. They're like spit shining it.
Oh, that's
like,
right.
With a toothbrush, and they just get their throats slit. It's like, wow.
And then,
come on, guys.
Yeah, they jump up on the plane to kill them. Then they jump down and run outside to the helicopter. Yeah. Dude, you didn't have to do that, dude.
You didn't have to do that.
You didn't even take the damn thing.
Yeah. All right.
That was it.
Well,
that I had.
Eric?
My final thought is, John Liu, I'm sure you're not out here listening to this, given the fact that you do not have electricity. I'm sure podcasts are far down your list of hierarchy of needs. But just know, you are way cooler than Leo Fong. So you did.
Dude.
Yes.
Way cooler
for
than Leo Fong.
Very true.
Bringing joy to people and he doesn't even know it.
Seriously.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. You've been listening to Second Class Cinema.
See ya.
See you at the next one.
Wow.
No, what are we going
to
do?
Tune in for the next one. You don't have to, but you can if you want to.
Yeah, I'll do that. All right. So I'll say it. I'll say, tune in for the next one, and then we'll all do the thing. Okay. Tune in for the next one. You don't have to, but you can if you want to. That was terrible.
Yeah,
so fucking awful, you assholes.
Oh, man.
I was like, all right, we'll do it, right? Everyone.
Well, I got so nervous that I couldn't even get it out right. So.
Wow. Okay, let's try it again.
So what's the line again?
I didn't know if you were going to say you don't have to, and then we said, but you can if you want to.
No, we all say it all.
You don't have to, but you can if you want to.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it now.
Tune in next time.
You don't have to, but you can if you want to.
Hey, good job, assholes.